Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, God, this morning. I thank God for waking us up another day and bringing us together once again just to come together and share in his word. I thank God for all he's doing in my life and in your life. I'm your host, AJC, and we're going to see you until the day. So this morning, I was up and I was in prayer. And I want to say before, remember, if you don't get a chance to, or if this broadcast run long, you can always get the full on Zeno FM. So if you download the app for Zeno FM, and you tune into our station, AJ Ministries, H-O-P, then you'll be able to hear the full broadcast, even if you have to miss part of it here on Blog Talk Radio. But I want to thank everybody for coming in to Blog Talk Radio today. I want to thank you for joining with us. I know you're probably on your way to work right now or just up trying to get yourself together, and I'm thanking God that you chose us to start your day with. Amen? So what are we talking about today? So today, I was up, and I was thinking about some things that God was telling me and what I should do and what I shouldn't do and how I should do and how I shouldn't do. It came apparent to me that after 50-plus years of working in the ministry, after 50-plus years of learning to be saved, of trying to be saved, of trying to be a leader in the ministry, it came apparent to me that some of us, and not all of us, but some of us, may have gotten tired. You may have had a time where you've been pushed so far and done so much that you've gotten tired. You know, and I know how that feels. You know, I know how it feels to wake up one day and be like, man, is this what all I'm going to do? Is this all it's made up to be? Is this all that God has in store for me? I know that feeling. I know that feeling when you wake up and you feel like you've been just running on a treadmill, just running in this one spot over and over and over, and things just don't seem to be going no different. Things don't seem to be going no better. They ain't bad, but they ain't as good as you want them. It's like you're just running in space. Well, I came to tell somebody today that God is looking at your work. He's looking at all that you did, all that you're doing right now. He's looking at it. He's looking at the fact that you have, you know, you have taken time out of your day to come visit with him on a daily basis. He looks at the fact that you've had time to do things and that you've done things and some things went wrong and things might not have been the way you wanted them always. He understands that you have a family and a job and all types of experiences and things you have to be accountable for. He understands that. But he also understands who you are and where you want to be in life and where you want to be taken in your destiny. See, what you got to understand is the amount of work you put into something is the amount of work you get out of it. So God does this thing in levels. He does it in levels to get you to a certain point because he can't give you all you want until he gets you to a certain point. And I'm explaining that real shortly for you. I'm going to try to do the best I can. I'll explain it short. See, so you come into the ministry after 20, 30 years of life. Now, realize We're born in iniquity, and we're shaping in sin. So for 30 years, the enemy has been laying his spirit. The enemy has been shaping you to be a certain way, to do a certain thing, to act a certain way, to receive and to see things in a certain way. Well, after doing that for 25, 30 years, you walk into the house of God and you say, God, I've had enough. I'm ready to change. I want to make a difference in my life. I want to help people. I can't keep living like this, whatever the case might be. You might have even gone to prison and gotten in prison and said, you know, I'm tired of going back and forth to prison. You might be one of them kind of people. I'm tired of having men after men and after men and not finding love. I'm tired of this. You know, whatever the case might be. But you finally got to a point where you said you're tired, you're fed up, you've had enough. But God is saying right now that he sees your perseverance. He sees your struggles. He sees your work. See, the Bible is clear about who you are. The Bible says to us, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who walk him. See, today I gotta let you know that stay in the race. I'm not telling you that everything ain't gonna, that it won't be a battle. I'm not telling you that it won't be you won't have hardship. But I'm telling you to stay in the race. Stay in the race. Stay in the race. God has something better planned for you. See, you gotta stay in the race. See, the Bible tells you the race is not to the swift, nor to the strong, but to he who endures to the end. You know, I know it's hard sometimes. I know the load get heavy sometimes. I know stress seems like it has you pushed against the wall. But God said, if you stay in the race, if you keep pushing forward. See, there's a scripture in the verse that everybody uses, but they don't really understand it. It's in Galatians, it says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Oh, God. See, God has something for you already. God has something already waiting for you. God has a destiny in his hands. He's just waiting for you to get in position. See, like I was saying earlier, when we come to God, we're dirty. We're mixed up. We're confused. We got all things back. And I mean that literally. We think evil things is good. We think right is wrong. Because the world has conditioned us to believe that the things of the Bible are wrong. That being a good, a kind, and patient person is wrong. That being loving, that being giving is wrong. That the world has taught us that we got to walk around with this hard shell on us just to be respected by others. But the world teaches us that we have to be all kinds of something different for people to like us. And a lot of times we walk around, we don't even like ourselves. A lot of times we walk around, we don't even understand why we do a lot of stuff. See, what you got to understand is that when you get saved, God first has to clean you up. And he can't do that in one day. Because it didn't take you one day to get as dirty as you are. See, he can't just clean the outside. Oh, that's easy. Oh, that's easy to clean the outside. Oh, when he stops you from doing the drugs, you'll start looking good. See, he'll give you a couple of bucks in your pocket. You'll start dressing better. You know, you start going to church, you'll start talking a little different. Those things are easy. Inside things that God's trying to clean. God got to get inside you and uproot all that stuff. uproot all that ugly, uproot all that bad, uproot all that same stuff that's inside you. That stuff that has been built up of spiritual things that came inside of you, that you allowed in you. Because you got to understand it. Every time, every woman, every man that you was with, you got a spiritual tie to him. He got to get all that nastiness out of you. Then you got to realize that you had generational curses on your generation. So if you're going to walk with God, you have been chosen to break those generational curses. So now he got to take all those curses that your father and your forefather and his forefather and his forefather had. He got to go into you and clean all that stuff out. Because all those things are having to do with how you act, how you project yourself to other people, how you feel and do things. So then God has to go in there and he says, okay, now your surroundings. I have to cleanse you from your surroundings. See, the friends you chose to be with, the people you chose to hang out with, the lovers you chose to have, the sex you did when you wasn't ready, the alcohol you chose to drink. See, he has to go in now, and he has to go in there, and he has to pull out all that stuff. He has to uproot all that stuff from you. He has to pull all that stuff out. But God is saying, just keep walking forward. Keep moving forward. Keep going. He said, he's telling us right now today that if don't be weary in your well doing. I know it feels funny for you to start saying thank you and please and yes and no. It feels funny because you've always been saying, what up, Nani? Peace and everything else. But God is saying right now, he can change it all. He can cleanse it all. He can take all those generational curses off your life. He can take all those spiritual ties off your life. He can pull that lust demon out your body. He can pull that lying demon out your mouth. He can pull that hatred off your heart. If you stay in the race, if you keep the fight, if you keep holding up your cross and moving. See, God is trying to tell somebody today, I know it's been a long time. I know you've been working hard at this thing. But he's telling you right now, don't give up now. Don't give up now. If you give up now, you'll never see the finishing product. You'll never see what he had in store for you at the beginning. See, God already had a plan in mind for you from the beginning. Look, from that first lie you told, from that first time you stole something, from the first time you cheated, God already had a plan in mind for you. See, what you got to understand is that the things that you forgot about, God still remembers. And God has to clean all those things out, things you don't even realize. And now he has to reveal those things to you. He has to reveal to you why you do this and why you lean on men for comfort, why you have sex as a to fill a void that sex will never fill. Why do you run to money like it's your God and not understanding its proper place? Why when it's time for you to pay tithes and offerings, instead of giving the 10%, you give 2%? See, I know somebody right now is going to be saying, oh, I knew money was going to come involved. Well, see, money is in your heart. Things is your heart. God got to take that thing out of your heart. He got to show you that things crumble and die. He got to show you that money will go away. But God is going to stand forever. God is going to be here when you don't know it. When God is in front of your face, when he's behind your back, when he's holding you up, when he's pushing you down. God is doing those things for your best behalf. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So you got to understand today that you are running a risk. And from the time you said yes to God, your adversary was the enemy, was sin. See, I want to make this as plain as possible. We ran to the club. We ran to that man or that woman. We ran to drugs. We ran to money. But God needs you to run out of all those things and run to him. God needs you to realize in your mind that all those things you possess, all the people that you have around you, it's time for you to take note of what's going on. It's time for you to see. See, the enemy has us clouded about, so we really don't see what's truly going on. We really don't realize that the reason why that man is screaming, cussing and howling to us is because he's afraid you'll leave him because he realizes how good you are. He realizes that you're the best thing he got, but for some reason, it has a low self-esteem within himself. So in order to keep you with him, to make him feel better, he got a beat on you. Oh, God. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But you're worth more than that. God's ashamed of this. The reason why she talked to you like she talked to you, because that's how people talked to her when she was young. That's how people treated her when she was growing up. She's screaming and hollering all the time because she is afraid. She needs to be protected. And the only way she got anybody to talk to her correctly is when she's talking loud. But God will teach her how to go in there and make her, bring her at peace. So that fear no longer exists. So screaming and hollering is no longer a reason or a way to get your way. See, you got to understand today that God says stay in the race. See, too many of us take lumps and bumps and bruises and say, oh, man, it ain't worth it. Oh, man, I'm living alone, man. I'm tired of going to church every week and in and out. Now I'm not getting what I want. What are you putting in? God said, just like a bodybuilder or athlete of any kind, the more work you put into something, the more you get out of it. Entrepreneurs, everybody want to be an entrepreneur, but people don't understand it. Entrepreneurs, when they first get started, and even after they become millionaires or whatever, they walk into a situation and they are doing all the work. When we work 40 hours a week, they might work 60, 80 hours a week because they take that product from embryo stage to completion. And then they got to push it out to the world. They got to find a niche that someone wants that product that they have. But if it don't happen for us overnight, we think we ain't doing it right. If it don't happen for us overnight, we want to give up. If it don't happen for us overnight, we feel that something is wrong, that the person, that God ain't right for us. He not true. Understand something. This is my personal belief. So if you want to email me or text me or call me and say that's wrong, then you can say that. But I believe that we have sat under a religious cloud for so long that we forgot how to follow God. We forgot that Jesus was the reason behind. See, we got to the point that we felt that if we didn't go to church, if we didn't go to Bible study, if didn't do this or we didn't do that, we wasn't loving God. But how many people need to know right now that the church is in you? God is in you. Today's society, we can go into a church, a tabernacle, a synagogue, or any place else and see so much sin. Because they don't have God in them. They believe that God is in the church, or God is in the pastor, or God is in the bishop, or God is in the prophet, or whoever, the reverend. But they don't have God in them. You know, I don't want to say any names today, but I know a person. I've known him for years. And these people, They go to church every Sunday. And they go to classes to learn how to be Catholics and things of that nature. And not bashing Catholics. I'm not bashing all Catholics. I'm just making a point. But all these years, they've been going to Catholic school and going to Catholic training and all the other things. And this person, these people, are living in sin, unmarried. But every week, they still get up and go to church. Christians do the same thing. They go to church every day, all the time, and their husband is really not even married to him. Oh, we've been together 7 years. We've been together 15 years. But has he ever married you before God? Has he ever married you before the government, wherever you live at? Or you just married because I got 4 kids and been together 10 and 15 years. So they call that common law marriage. But you go to church every Sunday. You want to usher a boy. You want to choir. You want everything else, but you living in sin. See, that's the difference. When you persevering, when you pushing forward, when you got to go forward, you got to understand that if you don't change your life to the standards of God, you really haven't changed. You say, okay, God, I love you. Okay, God, every Sunday you're going and you're jumping, you're shouting, and you're doing everything you can. You stop drinking, you stop going out, you stop smoking, you stop all this other stuff. But you still haven't gotten your life together. Why? Because God hasn't changed you completely yet. Because you're still not finished. So what you're wondering why you haven't gotten what God promised you already. You're wondering why you haven't moved to where God told you was moving to already. You're wondering why you aren't driving what God has for you already. You're wondering why your kids haven't come back home yet. You're wondering why all these things are not happening that God said they would happen. The reason why they haven't, because you haven't changed. You haven't taken out those things. You know, I heard one day when I was reading the Bible, the scripture said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, when I heard that thing for a whole year, I started cleaning out my house. What do I mean when I start cleaning out my house? Well, before I heard that scripture, before I really understood that scripture, I had my porno tapes in the house. Porno in the house. I'm doing everything. I'm still doing a lot of stuff I was going for. When I heard that, it struck a chord in my spirit. I'm still cursing. I'm still arguing like a monster. I'm still acting all Brody. God said, "When as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." So I'm saying that to say that when I heard that scripture, I had to understand that this is the house he was talking about. He was talking about cleaning this house out, not the church house, cleaning this house out. So you got to get rid of all those bad things or all those old things that kept you in bondage. You got to get rid of those porno things. You got to get rid of that smoking habit. You got to get rid of that drinking habit. This has to be a clean vessel. You got to get to a point where you used to praying every night. You got to get to a point where you used to reading the word and meditating on it. You got to get to a point where that anger that every time you turn around, you want to give a piece of your mind. You got to understand that you got to stop giving away a piece of your mind. One day you're going to wake up and ain't going to have no mind left to give. God is saying today, stay the course. Stay the course. If you stay the course, he'll do what he said he was going to do. If you stay the course, he'll do what he said he would do. Every word that he spoke over your life shall come to pass if you stay in the race. If you stay in the race, if you keep going forward, like the tortoise and the hare, if you keep moving, you ain't got to be running faster than everybody else. stay in the race. You ain't got to be jumping higher than everybody else. Stay in the race. You ain't got to be moving like everybody else. Stay in the race. Your perseverance is the thing that's going to get you to where you want to be. You know, I tell my testimony all the time about, I'm 58 years old now. And the crazy thing about it, until I was 53 years old, I didn't know what I was going to do after working. After I retired, I didn't have any clue what I wanted to do. I didn't have any idea of what I would become after working for 50 years or 25 years. When you retire, what do you want to do? When you get through having to work a 40-hour-a-week job, what do you want to do? And are you putting yourself in position now for then? See, I've seen so many people that leave their job after 25 years and are so bored with their life that in fact they actually go out and try to find another job just so they won't be bored, just so they won't have to sit around and do nothing. So they go out and find a job making less money with a worse boss just so they have something to do. Or even worse, they'll leave a job that they have for 25 years because I'm tired of doing this job. I've been doing this job for 25, 35 years. I've been doing this job for 35 years. But then you go out and get another full-time job. You collect your benefits and all those other things, but you go out and get you another full-time job. And it may be a job you want to do, but you're starting almost at the bottom from this job, satisfied. You know, I found out when God asked me what I wanted to do after retirement, I said to God, I said, God, I want to spread your word. I want to go into full-time ministry, God. I want to be a full-time pastor, a full-time preacher. I want to be in full-time ministry. And see, that's the words that everybody said. They said they wanted to be a pastor or a preacher and all that stuff. I didn't. I said, God, I just want to spread your word full-time, however you would have me to do it. Whatever you would have me, where you would have me to do that, Lord, let me spread your word. Let me go into full-time ministry. Not full-time pastorship, not full-time bishopness, not apostleship, but full-time ministry. And even at 53 years old, he had to change how I thought. He said, okay, this is what ministry really is. At 50, I'm 58 now. He said, at 53, he said, this is what full-time ministry is. He didn't tell me, and all my thinking was that full-time ministry was if I was in the church, I had to be in the church on the pulpit preaching a word every Sunday. I had to be doing Bible study every day, and I had to be doing this and that. And that. God said, spreading love and teaching people that there's a better way is ministry. Showing people that there is a better way through your lifestyle, through how you're living, is ministry. Saying a kind word to a person that no one even speaks to, that they see in the street and they walk by like they're not even there, is ministry. Giving a person a shirt because they don't have any shirt. Giving a person some clothing of any type, giving a person some food, is ministry. He said people run around and they want to be, you know, all this big stuff. They want to have all these this and that and all that stuff. But ministry is just each person you meet, taking time out to love that person enough to try to give them this thing called Jesus. Ministry is taking every day, every moment, every chance you get to minister to somebody, to help somebody so they go forth, so they have another day. Don't you know we have so many youth suicides, it's a shame. And the crazy thing is when it gets closer to the holidays, Christmas and holidays like that, the suicide for youth and teens go up. When we should be the happiest, they become the most depressed. Because somebody couldn't take time out to love them. If you just fight this fight, if you keep walking forward, if you understand that ministry isn't all about going in the pulpit every Sunday and singing your heart out. Singing. But in the streets, you won't even tell somebody you love them. You preach all day on a Sunday till you start sweating your clothes out. But throughout the week, you won't give a person a bite to eat. Because you don't want, oh, he has it. Get that bum away from me. That bum is still a person. He may be just down on his luck right now, but he's still a person. And you won't take a moment to earth. You jump up and jump in your car to go to church. You never say, his car not working right now. Could he give you a ride? I can't give you a ride. I got other places to go, other things to do. That's not God. So he first has to teach you how to live right, how to love your fellow people, how to see things in a different light before he can give you all the things you ask for. See, God doesn't want to hurt you. He loves you. And if you don't realize the reason why he's doing it, or the reason why he's doing it the way he's doing it,